الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سل من قطعك وآتي من حرمك وعفو عمن ظلمك أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters, Islam encourages us to forgive and forget. And naturally it is very hard for a human being to forgive somebody. But if you do so, it's a very great reward and is encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like one of the sifat and attribute of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. This is the dua, very special dua, recommended by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in Laylatul Qadr. But it is not only for once in the year in Ramadan, but this dua should be made every day in every salah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْبَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that you must forgive and overlook. If anyone trouble you, harm you, insulted, humiliated you, don't take a revenge. And if you do so, if you display your patience, sabr, inna Allah ma'as sabirin, that always Allah's help, nusrat and mercy is with those who show the patience. Now, I came across a very interesting and true story. I inspired by it, so I just like to share with you. It took place in Tehran, the capital of Iran, in 2004. Amina Bahrami was a young woman full of life, living in Tehran with the world at her feet that would collapse into total darkness in a single terrible instant. Someone with the name of Majid Mowahidi, student of her college, proposed her to get married. He fell in love with Amina, but Amina has no interest. So she politely refused that, sorry, I cannot get married with you. And he got mad. When she refused and rejected his proposal, he became mad and he began to follow her. As she was returning home from the work, he stepped out of the shadows and threw a bucket of sulfuric acid directly onto her face. The physical consequences were catastrophic. Amina became completely blind because of the acid, and her face was totally blown up. And she underwent 19 devastating reconstructive surgeries. Yet, although she lost her eyesight forever, her determination remained unbreakable. She didn't just want him to imprison, she wanted the world to see the gravity of his crime through the lens of ancient justice. So the law of retribution under the Iranian legal principle of qisas, retribution, the law allows for an eye for eye. This is the Islamic law also. Inna nafsa bin nafs wal ayna bil ayn. So Amina fought for years in a landmark legal battle, demanding that Muwahidi suffer the same fate he had inflicted on her. In a move that shocked the international community, The Iranian court agreed, and she was granted the legal right to personally pour acid into her attacker's eye. Now the date was fixed. In July 2011, after 7 years of battle in the court, she won the case. So in July 2011, in a hospital in Tehran, everything was ready. Muwahidi was tied to a bed, crying and begging for mercy. The acid was prepared. The doctor stood by Amina, the woman who had lived in darkness for 7 years, stood before him with the power to take his eyesight forever. She has all the right in her hand. The world held its breath. What's going to happen now? Then she stopped with the dropper in her hand and the legal right to destroy Majid Muwahidi as he destroyed her. Then Amina said, I forgive him. At the last second, she renounced her right to retribution. And Amina gave the reason. Amina's reasoning was as profound as her suffering. She declared that she did not want another human being to live in darkness like me. She endured every day. She understood that the law could give her revenge. She can take revenge. She has right. But it could not restore her eyesight. I mean, after throwing the acid on the face of Majid, she's not going to get her sight back. She's still going to be blind. So what's the point? While forgiveness could restore her peace, at least she will have comfort and peace of life that I have forgiven my enemy. By choosing the mercy, Amina Bahrami transformed the narrative from the victim of the horrific crime. She became a global symbol of moral strength. She showed that the greatest power is not the ability to inflict the pain, but the courage to break the cycle. You know, and this is what exactly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in one of the hadiths, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man kadama ghaizan wa huwa qadirun ala an yunfizahu da'ahu Allah ta'ala yawm al-qiyamati ala ru'us al-khalaiq hatta yukhayyiruhu min hur al-ayn ma sha'a, aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Dawud, this hadith in Abu Dawud, that whoever controls his anger at the place, he has all the asbab, all the means, all the power to take revenge. He can take it. He has the ability, but he controls his anger at that moment. That's the point, and that's the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become so pleased with him that on the Yawm al-Qiyamah he will be called and he will be granted the permission to take any hura'in he wants to choose from. This will be like dignity and honor for him in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So my brothers and sisters, don't regard that, oh, if I forgive, I will be regarded as a weak person. It is not a weakness. It is rather a strength that you have all the ability, yet you are forgiving. And this is the sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This in the ayat of the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the Sharia. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, that we have made mandatory and compulsory upon the Jewish in the Torah as well, and now is it in the Holy Quran as well, that anna nafsa bin nafs wal aina bil ain wal anfa bil anf wal uzuna bil uzun was sinna bis sin والجروح قصاص فمن تصدق به فهو كفارة له and we ordain therein for them life for life, eye for eye, nose for nose, ear for ear, tooth for tooth, and wounds equal for wounds. But if anyone forgive, remits the retaliation by way of charity, it shall be for him an expiation. Forgiveness, kafara. On other place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. What a beautiful statement, ayat of the Holy Quran, my brothers and sisters. We have to understand the Holy Quran and we have to implement in our daily lives. Quran-e-Majid is not just for recitation. It is not just for the read for the disease and marhumi. This book is for the live people. We have to take the lesson from the ayat of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you punish your enemy, then punish them. Sharia-wise, it is allowed. With like of that with which you were afflicted. But if you endure patience, and verily it is better for the sabirin, for the patience people. Now, this three verses of Surah An-Nahl was revealed after the battle of Uhud, the second battle of Islam. And as we know, in second battle of Uhud was very tough for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, third year after the Hijrah. So about 70 prominent Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in became shaheed. Big number. 70 Sahaba became shaheed, shuhada. Amongst them was one beloved uncle of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, prepared an Abyssinian slave, Wahshi. At the time he was not Muslim. Later on, after conquest of Makkah, he embraced Islam and he became Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So she inspired him that he was very good in throwing the spear from the far, and his, you know, the target was very perfect. So she said, I'm going to set you free if you do this job for me, is to kill this Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, and I will give a lot of ornaments and gold and silver, and you will be rich and free. So who doesn't want freedom from the slavery? So he got ready, inspired, and he did his job. He threw the spear from the far, and the spear was poisoned, you know. So immediately Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell down from the horse and he was became shaheed. But they did not stop, because Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in battle of Badr, the first battle of Islam between the truth and the falsehood, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very brave soldier. So he killed in battle of Badr three big enemies of Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hinda's father, Utbah, his uncle, Shayba, and her brother, Walid. So these three enemies, Utbah, Shayba, and Walid, used to torture the Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Hadrat Bilal, Hadrat Suhaib, who used to embrace Islam in early age of Meccan era. So these are the leaders with Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. These three were also prominent leaders of the Quraysh, and they used to torture and humiliate the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. So used to utter the bad word. So in this battle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu killed all of them. So that was because they were close family of Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan. That her father, her uncle, and her brother, three were killed in the same battle. So she was full of, you know, anger and retaliation and revenge and furious. So that was the reason, after killing Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she opened up his stomach and took out the liver and she chewed the liver. And they mutilated the body of Rasul Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, ear and nose and you know all those things. So when battle was over and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're looking for the shuhada, when they came to the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, it was not one piece. It was in so many pieces, mutilated. One is you kill somebody, it's a great thing, you know, it is pain, painful thing. But then you mutilate, cut the pieces. It make you more, you know, full of grief and anxiety. So when this body came to Hazrat Hamza, Hamza's body came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very, very angry and he was very feeling like revenge, you know. So he took an oath, qasam, that we will kill 70 kuffar in retaliation and we will mutilate their bodies, 70 bodies, in revenge to the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. He took an oath. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make our Bilal Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the example of the peace, role model for the mankind till the Yawmul Qiyamah. So when he took this pledge, immediately Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with these verses of Surah An-Nahl. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَإِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ وَاصْبِرُوا مَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُنْ. You know, this whole ayat was revealed. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, you know, you have right by the Sharia to take revenge and retaliate, but only that much which he has been suffering, not more than that. But if he makes sabr and patience, it's better for him. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy and help is always with the sabirin, with those who show the patience. After this ayat was revealed, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of anger, took the qasam and oath, they retaliated my uncle, one person, I'm going to retaliate and revenge 70 people. That was more than, you know, one person. Islam doesn't allow it. You have right to take revenge and retaliate only that much which is you have been suffering. You cannot take more than that. So in our regular life, if something happens, we can, out of anger, we always do extra. We go out of our way. We transgress the line. We cross the border in retaliation, which is not allowed in Islam. Like, if you damage my one thing, I'm going to damage his 3 or 4 or 5 things. This is not allowed. He took my $1,000, I'm going to take his 5,000. That is not allowed. You know, and the nafs bin nafs, only that much. Al-ayn bil ayn. If one eye, then you should take one eye only. You cannot take two eyes. If you broke your one tooth, you are allowed to break one tooth. You cannot break all 32 teeth. That is not allowed in Sharia. Sharia is full of justice. So after this ayat was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the kafara of his qasam and he declared he's not going to take any revenge from anybody from now till end. And after that, the mindset of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was totally changed and he became merciful, rahmatul lil alamin. And then it appeared when in the 8th year after Hijrah, when conquest of Makkah took place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had thousands of the Sahaba, the big army with him. He had all the power to take the revenge. And here Hind was alive, Abu Sufyan was alive, Wahshi was alive. All those enemies who tortured Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insulted, humiliated, they were shivering. They were frightened that now this Muslim, they came as the victorious. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to take revenge from each and every one of us. What will happen? Who's going to give us amnesty? Who's going to give us protection? We are going to die anyway now. Because now the ball is in their court. Now they got all the power and authority. in every suburb to take the revenge, and they deserve to take the revenge because we have done so, you know, bad things with them. So they all were scared. They were hiding. But as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, he declared, "Idhabu, fantumut tolaka." That go, you all are free. No one will take revenge from anybody. We do not came here in Makkah Mukarrama to shed the blood in this holy city. So whoever will close his house, he will be safe. Whoever will enter in the house of Abu Sufyan, he will be safe. Who will enter in the Haram Sharif, he will be safe. Who will be put down his weapons, he will be safe. So general amnesty, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared after gaining the power and authority and all these things. He could take the revenge. But this is the teaching of the Quran, the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you have authority, when you have power to take revenge, be patient. Display your patience. This is the great sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in also had this great quality of forgiveness. As you know, incident took place in Madina Munawwara, which is very famous with the incident of Ifk, when the Munafiqeen blame Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha when her necklace was, you know, at night they were coming back from Banu Mustalik jihad with the tribe, and then at night her necklace was, you know, fell down. So they accuse and blame Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And amongst this, you know, blaming, there were three sincere sahaba, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Mista radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Hamna bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anha was a poet. He used to make the shayri and poetry praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him very special, you know, ilm and knowledge to have the, to answer the, you know, the ash'ar of the kuffar and mushrikeen. So he was really close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Mista was the cousin of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and they took part in Battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already declared that those sahaba, 313, who took part in the Battle of Badr, they are forgiven radiallahu anhum. Allah became pleased with them. Now whatever they will do, Allah will overlook. They are already have, you know, gained the Jannah. All those 313. Among those Badri Sahaba, Mista was there. He fought in Battle of Badr. Hazrat Hassan was there. Hazrat Hamna also was there. So they were already forgiven. But this mistake took place. They also started spreading the rumor against Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this is hurt to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha too much, because Hazrat Mista was muhajir. He migrated from Makkah Mukarrama, and he was very poor. He was not well to do. So because he was a cousin of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, monthly provision and financial support Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha used to provide to Mista, to his cousin, every month. Whatever need and necessities, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to take responsibility. Taking care of him financially. And he is the one who is accusing and taking part in the rumor against the beloved daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa. You know, if someone else, a strange person, says something or hurt you, don't feel that much. But if your close relative, your blood relative does the same thing, it hurts you the more emotionally. It hurts you the more. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala took an oath that you are my cousin. I'm helping you every month, taking care of your financial problems. And you are also spreading the rumor against my beloved daughter without knowing, without any evidence, without any proof. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 10 ayat in Surah An-Nur clarifying this statement, this wrong, this false rumor against Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Ayat was revealed in the Holy Quran. It's a great honor for Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. When this ayat was revealed, according to Sharia, all these Sahaba who took part in spreading the rumor, they were also punished 80 slashes by the Sharia. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. So, when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu took that oath that from today I'm not going to support you. This is what you did with my beloved daughter. You don't deserve any support from me. I'm not going to help you out of anger because he was a father. Then this ayat was revealed. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَعُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Especially for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and all the Sahaba, you know, who were in this category, that you must forgive. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَعُوا. Oh Allah, you don't want that Allah must forgive you on the Yawm al-Qiyamah? If you want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook your sins, your faults, your shortcomings, your mischievousness, your sins in hereafter, then this is what you have to do. You have to forgive those people. And immediately when this ayat was revealed, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, I also taken an oath that I'm not going to support my cousin Mista, but now I'm please forgive me, and I'm giving the kafara of my qasam, and I'm going to give him more than whatever I was giving before. So my brothers and sisters, there are so many incidents in this regard that in the Sharia of Islam, taking revenge is not allowed, is not appropriate, it is not something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَلْيَعْفُ okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فَلْيَعْفُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those people who like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive them, then they should forgive the people. If they forgive the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them in hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him, you know, Jannah in return. So, especially at the time of anger, when we do this retaliation and we take revenge when we are very, very angry. And at that time, the shaitan, the devil, our enemy, is playing a very great role. He is having all the opportunities to misguide us, to encourage us to take the revenge. But at that particular moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, والكاذبين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. That those people who control their angers and emotions and they forgive the people, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do the ihsan. This is the matter of ihsan. You know, going out of your way to forgiving somebody who has done wrong to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that laysa al-wasilu bil makafi walakin al-wasilu alladhi idha qutiyat rahimahu wasalaha. A person who's doing good is not that person who is just, you know, helping or taking care of, but the real thing is that if a person has been cut off, his relationship is cut off, then he's trying his best to rejoin or reconcile that relationship. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Sil man qata'aka wa ati man haramaka wa'fu amman zalamak." That you must reconcile or reconnect yourself with those relatives or friends who have cut off the relation from you. You have to take a step further. You have to initiate. You have to start, you know, reconciling. And then, Aati man haramak, those people who deprived you, you must give it to them. If you have a chance, if you have opportunity, if Allah grant you more, then don't think, oh, when I was poor, I was in need, they did not help me. Now they are in need, why should I help them? This is not Islam. This is not teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aati man haramak, those who deprived you and did not help you in your poverty, in your time of need, now they are in that same situation, same condition, and you know about them, go out of your way. Help them out. Don't think what they have done with you in the past. Wa'fu amman zalamak. And forgive those who oppressed you in any way. Meaning that if they insulted you, humiliated you, or harm you anyway, then it is not good for you to take revenge from them. Rather, you must forgive, open your heart, clean your heart. We have so many relatives and friends, my brothers and sisters, and for small things, we stop talking. He said something, or he passed some comment, or he accused, or he blamed without any, proof. Then we feel bad. When we came to know about it, we don't even go and clarify with them. Whatever we heard, we believe in that rumor. And then we stop talking. We don't pick up the phone. We don't even go to their weddings. We don't even go to their funerals. If they die, they die. Go to hell. I got nothing to do with you. This is our attitude. But this is not an Islamic attitude. We have to go further, pick up the phone, ask forgiveness, or clarify the, whatever in between, and start talking. That's why in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a Muslim brother or sister stop talking to any Muslim brothers more than 3 days, 3 days are allowed to control your emotion. It takes time. It's against our nature. It is very difficult. It takes mujahada and sacrifice and effort to come to that level, to come to that strength. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us 72 hours. Control your emotion, control your anger. After 3 days, you go and you make salam. If he doesn't answer, it's up to him. You have done from your side. Then Allah is not going to question you on the Yawmul Qiyamah. But if you stop talking for years and years, you're coming, performing salah, fasting, giving zakat, and your relationship is not good. Even the Laylatul Qadr, Allah does not forgive those people. It comes in hadith. So many times we heard. Even the Laylatul Qadr, such a great night, Allah forgives millions of souls. But don't forget those two people who had dispute, or they are not talking to each other. Their relationship is cut off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave their matters in their hands until they reconcile. And then their ibadat, will be accepted, and they will grant a thawab. So our ibadat is getting, suspended on top of our head until we do not reconcile with our relatives and with our friends. May Allah give us tawfiq and strength to reconcile and forgive and forget for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.